This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Coming up, The World, on just two CDs. But first, after a tense meeting this week with leaders of the Republican-controlled Congress, the president ordered that the federal government be shut down. This time, don't have that Lewinsky woman bring in the pizza. Now, we're not talking about the real president of any real Congress, but the political drama that unfolded on NBC's The West Wing.
We will not vote to keep on footing the bill. You will be held responsible for shutting down the federal government.
Then shut it down.
The West Wing began its fifth season this fall, but without the man who created it, executive producer Aaron Sorkin, who left the show at the end of last season. We're joined now by our own master of entertainment, Elvis Mitchell, critic for the New York Times. Elvis, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Scott.
And my gosh, it's amazing that we have this melodrama on television about the shutdown of the federal government, which clearly echoes events of a few years ago, during the same time that we have a couple of overnight talkathons going on in the U.S. Senate.
It's very funny. I mean, yeah, the way these politics kind of bleed into each other sometimes are basically about taking a stand. And I think the show has kind of always tried to do that, West Wing. But for a long time, basically even until the end of last season, the show felt like it was sort of frozen in aspic, you know. Basically, this is 1999. It's still the Clinton White House.
I must say I liked the plot development that began last year and was continued this year, where the Speaker of the House, Congressman Glenn Allen Walken, played by John Goodman, came into the mix.
Now, I thought you all had some good ideas, but somebody ought to make it clear to the people in this room that someone is in charge.
Glenn, they've been up all night.
You're relieved, Mr. President.
What did the introduction of that character do in the alchemy of the show?
I think what he did was provide a kind of a voice of opposition, which the show initially tried to do in the second season when they introduced a staff council member who was also a Republican, who was, as I think, righteous as everybody else, but that character eventually disappeared. And now that actress, Emily Proctor, is on CSI Miami, which goes to show you can make a lot more money picking up corpses than you can working in the White House on network TV these days. But I think that what had begun to happen on the show was that everybody knew that that righteousness made them right. And I think it made the show feel, after a while, kind of hermetic. And the air seemed to be recycled in the show.
At the same time, is the show less of a civics lesson? And that's one of the things that distinguished the show for a lot of people. Is there less of that now and sometimes to the show's deficit?
I think not to the show's deficit, because I think it had gone as far with that as it could go. And we've talked about this before on the show, that sometimes a show, a dramatic show, is at its best in the first season, where all those lines are being drawn and kind of defined and the characters are still feeling themselves out. Now, Aaron Sorkin's strength as a writer is writing speeches. The great entrance speech that Martin Sheen got in the pilot, when he comes in and corrects the religious right, that's what he's good at doing.
Now, I love my family. And I've read my Bible from cover to cover, so I want you to tell me, from what part of Holy Scripture do you suppose the Lambs of God drew their divine inspiration when they sent my 12-year-old granddaughter a Raggedy Ann doll with a knife stuck through its throat? You'll denounce these people, Al. You'll do it publicly. And until you do, you can all get your fat asses out of my White House.
I've heard it said by people in television that the advantage of having a strong, singular, creative force like Aaron Sorkin is in creating the show, but that after a while, you really do need a collegial team because you need ideas striking off each other. And it does strike me, at least according from histories I've read, if we can refer to histories as being something I read in the newspaper last year, he still took singular control of a lot of the aspects of the show, and maybe some of the creative energy wasn't there because of it.
You partially kind of think, after 24, 22 shows for 4 years, he had possibly written himself out, that he had gone to the well so many times he was basically serving up big cups of dirt, and which almost sounds like a speech from West Wing, doesn't it, that kind of metaphor?
A speech from West Wing would be, have you served up a big cup of dirt? I've been thinking about a big cup of dirt. What about a big cup of dirt? Have you ever had a big cup of dirt, Elvis?
Let me tell you something about dirt, Scott. You know where I'm from in Vermont, the dirt has a peaty smell. I remember as a boy when I fished and the smell of that dirt would well up between my toes. That's the kind of thing you'd get in West Wing, too, after that kind of that back and forth, that sort of sub-mammoth thing. There would be a speech at the end of that kind of bouncing around. And that's gone, and I think that's good because, you know, it creates a real, I think, kind of dynamic that makes the show a lot more interesting this season.
Elvis, thanks very much.
Thank you, Scott.
Elvis Mitchell, who's a film critic for The New York Times.